What's Trending?
What's Trending is brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, number one is that the Royals, Game 4, ALDS, facing elimination without a win tonight against the Yankees. They lost last night, 3-2 to the Royals. Of course, Stanton home run late, the difference. Tonight, though, first pitch a little bit later, an hour later, 7:08. Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan, and it's going to be Michael Wacha going up against Garrett Cole. Of course, that was the Game 1 matchup back on Saturday.
We learned that it is Vinny Pasquantino's birthday, who still does not have a hit in the series. You would think that his birthday is obviously going to change that. I don't see any reason to not assume that. The ticket prices for this game are a little bit lower than the game yesterday.
Yes, they are.
So if you were thinking you wanted to go to the game, depending on which secondary ticket seller sites you were looking at, you could currently get in the door cheapest ticket with a seat listed right now on one of the popular sites, 117 before.
That is definitely cheaper than yesterday.
That's about half, at least, probably, than yesterday. So, yeah, significantly cheaper than yesterday. But just if you're getting a sense of where you are, remember, at 2 o'clock today, we're handing out playoff-themed T-shirts. Say we didn't come this far just to come this far. Outside in the parking lot, 7,000 Squibb Road. First 100 people will have a shirt. Next up on What's Trending, the Mets advance into the NLCS with their win last night. Quite the turnaround for the Mets, who tried to buy their World Series last year, fell quite short of that. We're still the number one payroll team in baseball this year. Not like they just actually got their value out of Francisco Lindor, who had an MVP-type season if it wasn't for Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers forced Game 5 last night as well. They'll take on the Padres on Friday in L.A. for who goes to meet the Mets. And the Tigers will have a chance today to advance to the ALCS, making them the first team in there, the same as the Yankees have the chance to do it tonight. So the Tigers up 2-1 in that series after 3-0 win yesterday against Cleveland.
Next up on What's Trending, we could for the first time see Monday Night Football games flexed this season. You guys might recall last year the rule was in place where if the ESPN wanted to flex Monday Night Football games, they could. It only was used once. That was the Chiefs-Patriots Week 15 game and was replaced with the Eagles and Seahawks game. So Troy Aikman was on Pardon My Take here recently, and he talked about basically this year and the scheduling, how it's been amazing, but also that flex scheduling could come into play more. Remember, they cannot use it until week 12. It's a month away, but the league already has its eyes on a game that might get booted. So they're Cleveland at Denver. Aikman said, we're at Denver. Cleveland at Denver may end up being a flex, is kind of what it's looking like. So we could have at least one game flexed again this year, something to keep an eye on. And anytime flexing is involved, you got to keep an eye on what it could mean for a Chiefs game, because everybody wants the Chiefs. So I haven't looked at week 13 for the Chiefs. There's the Black Friday game, Raiders at Chiefs. That can't be flexed. So I don't believe the Chiefs would be in play for that particular one. But we'll see if it impacts them later.
Yeah, I mean, it could. Very well could.
I was just going to say November 20th is when they would have to make a decision by.
Fine by me, I guess. I don't care if they flex out the Chiefs game from Monday Night Football game. I don't think they will. Obviously, the Chiefs' next one is against the Bucks. Next up on What's Trending, a large portion of the roof at Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay was ripped off last night amidst Hurricane Milton. There's now a full 360 videos of it. I mean, it's shredded to pieces. Whether or not they can repair that in time for the baseball season, that's up for question. You might remember when that happened in New Orleans, it was a couple years before they went back to play at the Superdome. So we'll see whether or not they'll be even able to play baseball in Tampa, or if they'll need to find a secondary home in that area for the upcoming baseball season. But it completely destroyed the top of their baseball season or stadium. So we'll see what happens with the Rays.
Yeah, some of the images, devastation down there is pretty jarring to see. And yeah, obviously our thoughts to everybody down there. I saw this morning, I think Tom Brady and one of his partners are donating $100,000 to relief efforts down there. I'm sure we'll continue to see that this weekend. I'm sure the NFL usually steps up a little bit, and we'll see if any other celebrities, et cetera, do that as well, because it we all know has a chance, and we've seen the image already, to just be completely devastating to the folks down in that area. Lastly, on what's trending, we are less than 2 weeks away from heading out to Las Vegas. We're going to be at Circa Las Vegas, broadcasting live Thursday, Friday, hanging out poolside, stadium swim, world's largest sports book, 143-foot screen, 6 pools. It's going to be a great time. We have a party on Friday night. You need to RSVP. If you're going to be in Vegas, that happens.
Or you think you might be in Vegas. Just RSVP, yeah. Didn't cost anything.
That's right. RSVP. It's the Chiefs-Raiders weekend out in Vegas. We've got a party on that Friday night. You might as well RSVP, because if you're out there, it's going to get you a free cocktail. It's going to get you entered to win game day tickets. It's going to get you entered to win a day bed if you're out there in Vegas. But yeah, if you're even just contemplating, you haven't booked your flight yet, if you want the link to that, hit us up on social media, at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp. We both have already tweeted it out,
too. Or text us, 913-586-7965.
You can text in. We'll send you a link as well. But we're going to be out at Circa Las Vegas in less than 2 weeks.
Would you like me to give me your personal number? Maybe they could text you there?
I would not like that. I love you guys.
913.
I love you guys, but I don't think handing out my cell phone number is a good idea.
What do you think would happen if I did it?
I'd have to get a new number.
Get a new number. Yes. You think if I handed out your number one time on the air, you'd have to get a new number? You've had that number since you were like 15.
Yeah, but I would have to get a new number, because there's some of you that would respect it. There's some that probably wouldn't. And there's some that would then sign me up for random crap, and it just would not be good.
Or put it on like a listing on Facebook Marketplace or something.
Yeah. I think it'd be a problem, even for just a random radio host in Kansas City.
So not a prank you would enjoy, celebrity. Is what you're
saying. That'd be bad. Please do not do that. What if I put your phone number? Do you think you'd like it?
I would not get a new number. I would just block people who were jerks. Mm-hmm. And if you were like somewhat cool, I might text you back every once in a while. Mostly probably just ignore it. But if you're like relatively cool about it and you're just like, hey man, good luck in that hot dog race today. Fine. I'll just say, thanks, dude.
I don't think that's what it would be. I don't think that's what it would be. You get a lot of, do you have any tickets? You'd get a lot of stop effing singing. You get a lot of stuff, man.
Well, and I would just mute those people and block those people. Wouldn't be that big of a deal.
I wonder if our next guest has changed phone numbers multiple times in his life or not. I'm not sure. Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He is, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network. You hear him here on 96.5 The Fan. He's brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I know it's a bye week for you. We'll get to that in a second, Danan, but have you had to switch a number up at some point in your life due to maybe a variety of reasons?
Actually, no. I've had two cell phone numbers in my life, and I've had my current one for the last 30 years.
30 so, years.
Yeah. 30 years with the same number. I go back to the days when you could actually pick your cell phone number. And it was not randomly given to you. So yes, it's been a luxury.
Dane, and I'm not trying to date you. I mean, was that like a cell phone that was like in a bag in your car? You plugged into the 30 years, man. That's a long time to have a cell phone. Zach Morris's cell phone.
So I've come full circle. I'm on two times around flip phone era. So, that was the old flip phone, Nextel, walkie-talkie. Remember those? I'm dating myself really right now.
Dana, before we talk about the Chiefs, do-or-die playoff game situations. You've been in teams that mattered for in college football, in the NFL level. What do you think happens to athletes, or what do you think do they try to avoid letting happen go through their mind? When they know today, it's very simple. Win a baseball game, and you get to keep playing baseball games. Lose, and your season is over.
Yeah, I think I've definitely been in this situation before, and I think there's different schools of thought, and it's from a player's perspective, but even more so from coaches. And it may not impact the game as much at the MLB level as it would be in the NFL. But I do know the mindset can be similar. And here's what it is. Don't try to not lose. Try to win. Like, it seems simple, but I can tell you from experience, from coaching to playing to being a fan and watching and knowing the games while watching, there are times where coaches and some players consciously or subconsciously make decisions to try not to lose. And that's usually when you lose. It's usually the time when the players go for the win where you see that come to fruition. So, yeah, I've been in that situation. I've had sleepless nights for months afterwards, wondering, man, that decision seemed like we were trying not to lose instead of win. Oh, that missed opportunity, that missed catch, that missed swing of the bat. Was I trying to walk versus trying to get a hit? Was I trying to make something happen versus trying not to make a mistake? And I think that's where we are with the Royals. Heck, that's where we've been with the Chiefs in the past, where you can look back at some of the games that didn't go in our favor and wonder, man, were we trying not to lose this game, or did we really just go for the win?
We know the Chiefs staying in, obviously thrilled to be 5-0 heading into a bye week. That doesn't get any better than that, but it is an early bye week. I know they have injuries, but they're not the injuries that are like, oh, this guy's coming back in a week or two, so it's good. They're more long-term injuries. Do you think that the early bye week is something the players not really liking right now?
I think the players love bye weeks no matter where they
fair,
come.
Fair, fair.
There's an optimum time. I would like to say that if things are going great, week 10 to week 12 is usually pretty cool, especially if you know you're going to have a stretch in the postseason. But this early, I think there are guys out there that may have been battling through some nagging injuries that love the timing of it now. The only downfall or detriment I see as is that now you're in a situation from week 7 through, week 23, that you're going on this long stretch. You hope to have that number one seed for the playoffs, but if you don't, you got to take a deep breath right now, and you won't have the time to exhale. If we achieve our goal, you won't have the time to exhale until mid-February.
When you look at what the Chiefs did on Sunday, Dane, and the consensus now, so I don't think I need to ask you, is that that's the best game they've played on offense. But I think the question we should be asking ourselves at this point is this defense better than last year's? Or is it equally as good as last year's? I think we all kind of just assumed a little half step backwards might exist for a team that might have had the best or the second best defense in the NFL last year. It does not appear like that's the case at all.
Yeah, I think the surprising part is that they picked up right where they left off. Now, whether they are better or the same, I think there still needs to be more of a sample size. Give me until the second quarter of the season is over, and then we can make that declaration. I mean, we got the San Francisco 49ers coming up. If they're fully healthy and they have incentive, obviously with us beating them in the Super Bowl and then having to go out there, there's a test. Tampa can look pretty strong. And then, when you get through at Buffalo, I feel like maybe by Thanksgiving we will definitely be able to say whether this team is better or this defense is better than last year, but they're definitely not worse. I think that's a testament to Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, he's usually had defenses that were relatively slow starters, and that's not the case. And it's so apropos for them to be in a position where, with things, with the injuries, with the inefficiencies on offense, that we're calling on the defense, consistently calling on them to pick us up, and they're coming through week after week. I think that's one of the special stories, and it might be, I don't know if that's going to be a huge chapter in this book of this three-peat run, but it definitely warrants it should be.
We're talking to Dane and Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Chiefs. And after the bye week, you'll hear Mitch Holthus, Dane and Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel right here on the Chiefs Radio Network. We were talking about Xavier Worthy, and I thought it was a good example in that game where even if the stats aren't there and you're not connecting on that 50-yard pass, his ability to draw that pass interference penalty down the field, that's the other benefit of having him. Do you think that is something that kind of gets lost at times?
That should be a catch. Now, obviously, you're speaking to a former wide receiver, but that should count for something because it's treated at the NFL level like a catch. But I will say this. How many times have you seen over the course of history, even if it's a short portion of history, last 5, last 10 years, where maybe first round or second round picks at the receiver position haven't been utilized the best, maybe not have gotten the production out of them that you thought you would get out of a top round pick because of the circumstances or because of the narrow-mindedness of the coordinators. and the head coach and how they use him. Let's just line this guy up outside the numbers. Oh, he's a slot receiver, so we're just going to line him up inside the slot and hope for the best. And then you come into a situation now with Matt Nagy and Andy Reid where he's got three touchdowns and two of them on the ground, out of the backfield. Like, and the last one's literally him positioned in the backfield, not a jet sweep. So I give them all the credit in the world of not just saying we got a 4-2-1 receiver, let's just line him outside and we'll get a pass interference. I still think he needs to get more physical downfield when the ball's thrown up in the air, maybe learn how to use his body to push off. There was one where he went up to try to jump for, and I thought maybe if he'd have just pushed off a little bit and caught the ball on the outside of his shoulder, like we were taught as receivers to use your body and positioning on deep balls, that would have been a great play. Now, I'm not going to, you know, knock him for that. That's just part of the growth process. But even while growing in that aspect, we have an offense that's utilizing him in great opportunities otherwise, with the running game, with the jet sweeps, and then obviously withdrawing those kind of penalties downfield. So I give these guys credit for being creative and not feeling like they got a pigeonhole, a 4-2-1 receiver.
Danon, were you more surprised that Juju Smith-Schuster or Kareem Hunt were able to turn back the clock on Sunday?
Juju for sure. Juju for sure. And how about this? Like, when you get Jody Fortson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kareem Hunt, like you're getting cast-offs that were here before. Maybe you can wonder, okay, if they capitalized. I don't know if that's the right terminology. If they capitalized on free agency or opportunities away from this organization. And those organizations not only are losers, but they couldn't figure out how to use them. And then we take them back, and we figure out right away how to use them. Like, yep. There's something to be said about Brett Veach, the scouting department, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, because we're talking about the offensive guys that – we are, like, if you are their former coach or the GMs of those teams that went and got them in free agency or the scouting departments that thought that they would be good fits and then you let them go only to see them flourish back where they came from, where you liked them when before you took them. Like, there's some dynamic there that's just totally entertaining to me, that you can see guys resurrect their careers on a championship team. We're not talking about an 0-16 team. We're talking about championship teams that allowed you to go away in free agency just to embrace you back and then pick up right where you left off. It's just an amazing thing to me. And I will say also, it's a note for a lot of young kids out there, whether you're in high school, in college, going through transfer portals, or if you're free agents that are listening or you get a chance to hear this, never burn your bridges. Never burn your bridges. You never know where things can come full circle, and those guys are a testament to it. But the surprise definitely is Juju.
I was going to say that. Never burn your bridge. That applies to non-sports as well, Dan. I think anybody can take that advice. That's for sure. Bye week for you. Are you going up to Iowa? You guys got the Huskies coming in. What's the plan for the bye week?
I originally thought about heading up to Hawkeye Land, but I actually have my daughter's baby shower.
So oh, nice.
Family
okay.
in town. So it'll be grandchild number 4 due in December.
Congrats.
Shout out to my daughter Savvy and her husband Mario. So maybe I'll get to play some golf or something afterwards, but I'm the host this weekend for a baby shower.
There you go. You're going to be awfully busy then. Sounds good, Danon. Appreciate it, man. We'll check in next week.
All right, fellas.
There you go. That's Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, part of the Chiefs radio network. And after the bye week, you'll hear him once again on 96.5 The Fan when the Chiefs start the, again, not almost like second half of the season, but in a way for them it is because of the early bye.
It's only five games, so it's not really half. But
I know it. I know it. Our conversations with Danon, though, are brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Reminder coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get to the random question of the day. Also at 1 o'clock today, it's a Fantasy Football Thursday. We'll have our guy, Paul Charchin of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com join us. We'll get his perspective on Thursday Night Football tonight, who to start fantasy-wise, and also a little bit about the running back situation in the NFL. There's a couple backs that are performing at a very high level. How should you set your lineup? That kind of stuff. We'll get to that with Paul Charchin in just a bit.
Can't wait. Obviously when we talk about like the wide receiver, Juju was the bigger surprise to us too. Running backs just tend to have, just reappear from time to time, but that certainly makes a difference. I was asking at the very beginning about like the try not to win, try not to lose stuff. Because one of the questions I almost asked Vern to start was, hey, do you play for more runs early, right? Knowing that you can't score, like if you get runners on first and second in the third inning and it's the bottom of the order, you wouldn't bunt in that situation. Do you have Isbell or Garcia bunt in that situation to try to like force some action, get some runs on the board, get the lead early, try to maintain that. But that's kind of doing what Dana's saying. That's playing not to lose. Well, I better keep this game close. I better get some runs now. I don't know if they're coming later. So if that's the case, well, then Dana's probably right. Play the way that got you there. Use the pitchers that got you there. I think benching Vinny in a lot of ways, like where Dusty was asking, I think that's playing to lose. He's been one of your best hitters all season. He's in a mini, I guess I would call it, postseason slump. And as a result of that, I'm not worried. He's been one of the best hitters for a reason. I assume he will come through with hits at the important time tonight. And if he doesn't, well, he's one of the guys who got you there. And I'm not playing to lose tonight. As Danan said, you got to play to win this baseball game. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Well, listen to what Michael Massey had to say in the clubhouse yesterday. We were in there after the game and talking about, you know, they've been in these spots and basically like they don't have any other choice but to find a way to get out of this spot that they are in, which is, of course, facing elimination.
Yeah, just more of the same. You know, obviously, we can't change what we're doing. It's gotten us this far. And, you know, lost by one run. It was a really close game. And, you know, they had a big swing and made plays and felt like we competed and just, you know, got to make some more plays than we did today.
I mean, we got confidence in everybody, you know, in this clubhouse. You know, guys have been doing it all year, so, you know, we have a ton of trust in Michael and, you know, in the bullpen as well to be able to follow. So just got to go out and play a good game tomorrow and get back to what we do.
That last part was about Michael Wacha. We're going to talk about him here, guys, in 6 minutes or so and what the approach should be for maybe Q with the starter tonight and also the bullpen. But yeah, Michael Massey said it. I mean, there's truth to it. It's like we won X amount of games for a reason. The, you know, throughout the season, we talked about Bobby Wood Jr. being an MVP all season for a reason. Yes. We talked about Salvador Perez, of course, being a future Hall of Famer for a reason. Vinny, a near 100 RBI guy for a reason. All that is true. So yeah, you're still going to look at them to get you the win tonight. I understand what the numbers are. We've all acknowledged it like that. If we're just simplifying this entire series, yeah. I mean, when you have that combination with Pascasito Perez, 4 for 37 with 13 strikeouts, yeah, that's not good enough. That's why you're in a spot you're in. If they're going to win tonight, my guess is one of those guys is going to have to come up with a big hit. Great to have Tommy Pham, who his numbers are good against Garrett Cole. He's been a huge asset to this team. It's great. Michael Massey, my goodness.
He's been a playoff performer.
You want to talk about a guy stepping up for the other guys. That's all great, and that would be great to continue. But, man, you feel like it's going to have to be with Pascasino or Perez tonight. But yeah, Michael Massey, his postseason numbers suddenly. 368 batting average, 429 on base, 526 slug. Up next, let's talk more about this Royals team, though, a little bit more of that conversation, and how do we think Q's going to handle a do-or-die game with Michael Wacha on the mound? Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. Also, 1 o'clock hour, Paul Charchin, guillotineleagues.com, fantasylife.com, get you set for week 6 fantasy football, get the lineup set. Also, it's been a while since we've done it. We will do a snitch line Thursday. Right around 120 or so.
Might have seen something in the game last night, like a guy in a Lucha Libre mask trying to fight a child.
Well, not a child. A gentleman that had a kid that the husband and his wife were sitting there with the child. And the husband looked like Garrett Cole's brother. And yeah, anyway, we'll get to the snitch line. 913-586-7965. Anything you need to get off your chest. Yeah, you saw it. Something going on at the workplace. Co-workers, all that around 120.
Family members.
Text line and phone calls are on option there. Yeah. Maybe you saw anything happen at the game. Cody, Dusty, and I were there. Maybe you saw something one of us did. I don't know what anybody did.
We are in public view. Something. We're sitting right out there in right field.
Maybe you saw Drew. driving down the highway in his sports car. You never know.
Maybe he was in a Cookie Monster.
Maybe that was him.
Speeding down the highway. You never know that. Plus, in the 1 o'clock hour, I will be singing Pasquantino live. It is his birthday, and he needs a hit. And the last time we did Pasquantino live is when he really needed a hit in the early portion of the season, so it's time to bring it back.
I will, full disclosure, tell you, yesterday I said you should sing one. You forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost. So yeah, I think you deserve some of the brunt of the blame as
well. I'll take.
If you're going to take 10%. Credit for that when it works, I got to say you had an opportunity to sing and you didn't. I'll also say I was contacted today by the individual that holds the pass to block your song from the Cody and Gold Garage.
He's going to block me?
Well, here's
today.
I told you I want to give you full disclosure. He reached out. I said not today.
Protecting.
He asked me, what do you think? And I said, I wouldn't block it today. Not in the middle of the playoff run.
I appreciate your
Everybody's a little stressed out today. Brink of elimination. We need good vibes in this city today. We don't need to block the song. You want to sing? Fine. Sing the damn song.
I think there's a little bit of risk in that, though, because if it works and Vinny plays well and they win.
No, but that's the agreement. Cody doesn't need to sing on Friday because it works today. No.
I was going
to
say, I think Cody's going to have that temptation.
Then that gets blocked on
then
Friday.
Then he's allowed to use the pass. I got it. That's
Someone
fair.
Says, Drew has a sports car. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm whipping the McLaren, man.
He just won a new racing wheel. Maybe he's been boosting sports cars in his free time.
I wish I had a sports car.
People are accusing. The cinch line hasn't even opened. People said Drew's out there selling certain things to them.
Hold on a second. What?
That's what the snitch line's about.
Snitch line's about me.
We'll get to that. We'll get to it. We'll get to it, guys. Relax.
You're snitching. You're capping.
We'll get to it in just a little bit. But we mentioned Michael Wacha. He's obviously starting tonight. This will be his second start in this series against Gerrit Cole. And because it is a do or die game, even if he's rolling, man, I don't think you're seeing many innings from him tonight. I think we've clearly seen how Q's going to manage this thing. And knowing that Urseg did not pitch yesterday, Urseg probably is available for 2+ innings if needed this evening. All hands on deck. I hope Waka's cruising through 4, but either way, I would be almost surprised if Michael Wacha finishes 5 innings tonight. It doesn't have to mean that he's not pitching well. I just think, if it's the fifth inning again and back to top of the order and it's Aaron Judge and there's a runner on, that might be the spot to go to Chris Bubich or Urseg right away.
I would be, and I've told you, I wanted them to extend time with Lugo, extend time with Reagans. I was willing to go probably an extra inning on both of those guys in each of the last two starts. Now, I didn't burn them, the bullpen guys directly after that. Bubich didn't give that home run until the 8th. Certainly, Lugo wouldn't have still been pitching in the 8th, and Bubich would have been one of the top 3 arms out of the pen, so I don't worry about that necessarily. But, yeah, I'd have a pretty quick hook on Michael Wacha tonight. Here's what I want out of Michael Wacha. At least 4 innings, leaving the game tied or up. Like, I just want him to keep him in the game. That is his job tonight. They got enough bullpen arms, enough fresh arms, a day off tomorrow before Saturday, all those things that go with it, that just get him to the 4th inning, keep this thing competitive like this series has consistently been from every start, and then just hope that you are the team that gets the big hit versus the other team. Our friend Jake Eisenberg had just put out some stats.
Yeah.
Other than the walks, this has been a nearly identical series offensively, right? I mean, 11 runs each, a few more hits for the Royals, 1 more home run for the Yankees, a ton more walks, similar strikeout numbers. The Royals are a little better with runners in scoring position than the Yankees. The Yankees have been downright dreadful.
Yeah.
The Royals have been 6-for-21. But, I mean, it speaks to the closeness of the series.
It does. The 22 walks to 7, everybody immediately like, see, the umps are effing us over. There is some of it to blame on the umps. Also, I know we hate to do this. Can we also acknowledge the Yankees have adjusted? The Yankees have been really patient at the plate.
I think it's easy to be patient when you're getting more balls that are strikes being called balls.
I'm not saying it's cut and dry one way or the other. I think there's, like anything, there's always more nuance to the conversation. I think immediately you see 22 walks to 7 and you assume, oh my gosh, they're not calling any strikes or any balls on them. We've gone over the numbers earlier on in the show. I'm sure we'll get back to them in the 1 o'clock hour too. We can acknowledge the umps. It's factored the series, sure. It's not why the Royals are facing elimination tonight, though. I just refuse to believe that. Everybody has the right to their opinion. You guys if can text in as you did earlier. I think a lot of you disagree with me on that.
Some people agree with you. It's probably split.
I don't like it when we're talking the NFL games where we make fun of other fan bases for blaming the officials and they get all the calls or they're out to get us. Yeah. And we crack jokes about that. It's a loser mentality thing. It's what people do when their team is losing. And so, yeah, it's been interesting to watch this series, but ultimately the numbers from a couple guys in the order and other aspects have, to me, been a much bigger deal than an umpire last night.
I'll say every decision in the postseason comes with a heightened amount of this, because the very first thing I see on the text line is, hey, why didn't Q leave in Singer for another inning with multiple hangers coming up?
I mean, hitters, right?
Probably.
Hitters.
Yeah, that's fine. He was probably, I thought maybe eventually he was talking about the, okay, multiple hitters come up. So here's the question. I sent out a tweet that just said, Brady Singer is coming in to face Aaron Judge with the bases loaded. And I'll be honest with you.
We were surprised.
It is just social. I was surprised, but it's just social media. Of the 100 responses I probably got to that tweet before Singer had thrown a pitch, 98 of them were like, this is ludicrous. He's trying to lose them this series. I wish for death. That was the general consensus. Then, after Singer had gotten me out, and eventually a run was given up in the an inning or whatever following, they're like, what the hell? You're not going to leave Singer in for more? I'm like, wait, just real quick. So half of you think I'm on the ledge because Singer might pitch. And the other half of you were like, well, he should have gone 3 innings practically for this team. Relax. The truth is, he called in Singer, he got the out, that one worked. Bubich, he gave up one run. But like when I go back through the factors, sometimes the bullpen's going to give up a singular run. In 5 innings pitched, I'm not going to lose my mind because Bubich gave up one run. He managed the bullpen pretty well last night. Bullpen did not implode.
Not so.
Bullpen did its job. That is a tough Yankees lineup, and the bullpen did a nice job. They didn't even use Urseg. And they did a nice job. He pulled the string correctly on Brady Singer, calling him in there against Aaron Judge. He got the strikeout. We all got to move on with their life. But if Singer had given up that hit, you would have been asked to go multiple innings then, would you? Right? And so that's the problem inevitably with bullpen decisions.
Always
at the heightened part of postseason baseball. I was fine with them not. I thought they might leave Singer in because the game was 2-2, and I knew they were going to need maybe extended innings out of the bullpen. That was more why I thought Singer might go longer, but he didn't. And you know, they had other guys available who could have given them length, like Lorenzen or Lynch or others if they needed that.
But that's what you said, though. I think you have to expect that again tonight, whether it's Singer or somebody else, that you're going to have guys come in and face the minimum that's required at times as a reliever. And they're going to, you know, we joked earlier, like if there was a set game time tonight and you took the over under, take the over on the game time. I mean, both teams in an elimination game for the Royals, it's not an elimination game for the Yankees, but they have a chance to, of course, wrap up the series. You're going to see, I think, some more moves, shorter leashes across the board, truly more matchup driven than what we've seen to this point, you know? And if a move works, nobody second guesses it. If it doesn't, people second guess it. Doesn't mean that there's not a conversation to be around certain decisions, but I mean, this series has been the prime example of ultimately how we view managers. It's just simply, did it work or not? that is it. Like there's more conversation on why the logic behind a said move was, but most of the time, this series has given us the perfect example of how people view a manager is just simply, did the player execute or not? It doesn't mean the logic was bad. But when the player execute, we think the manager is a genius. And when he doesn't, we think it's a dumb decision.
2 days ago when nobody wanted Garrett Hampson to start, he came through with multiple hits. Mm-hmm. Genius decision.
Michael Garcia, last night, people were wondering why he at one point in time was back in the lineup. He gets 4 hits.
Last night he starts Adam Frazier, doesn't do anything. And you're like, why? Why did you do this? Why did you put Adam Frazier in here? It's a difficult line to draw, and what I think you should know about Q, which I think has been consistently true, is he said it on his opening press conference. He'll play for the edge. He will play for the, if I think this helps us win, instead of 50-50, 51-49, he's going to do that. Jake, by the way, had sent back a tweet on those stats he'd sent out earlier and pointing out the one thing that is unsimilar about those stats, the walks. 5 of the Yankees' 11 runs scored in this series have been guys who got on base via the walk. So just a quick tip for the world. If they were taking advice from me tonight, I would suggest one thing. Walk less hitters. I don't know. I know that sounds way simpler when I just say it that way. because it's way simpler than that. But I would simply just walk less people. I think that that would actually be a good strategy tonight for the Royals, is to simply just walk less batters.
Yeah, I think also just scoring more runs too. You know, that would be that's a great approach. Why aren't they doing that? Someone tell them, please. I mean, sometimes you know. Oh my goodness! A reminder.
I think Bobby should get more hits.
Yes, so do I. I mean, come on! Like, how come it's not happening?
I think they should all go 4 for 4 tonight.
I think why are they purposely going 4 for 37? And you know, I think they should try to get hits.
Do you think the Royals win tonight if Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby all go 4 for 4?
I do. You know, okay. I do.
They better. If they go 4 for 4.
Yeah.
Thank God, that'd be a depressing way to go out. No way. Not on Vinny's birthday. That's not how they're gonna do it.
I think they're winning.
Someone said Frazier. I think they're winning tonight. I forgot about that.
I think they're winning tonight.
There you go.
We'll give our final thoughts in the 1 o'clock hour. But Drew, let's get to it.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We live stream the show. Take your comments over there. Guy over there saying you're ducking him. It's not Paul anymore.
Who's ducking who?
Different guy. Someone over on... Once again, YouTube is worried that Drew is ducking the
chat. Are you, Drew? Why are you ducking the people?
He's out of the comments.
Why are you ducking?
He's ducking people.
I'm not ducking anybody. I'm not addressing rumors, evidently, or text messages.
We'll get to the snitch line at 1:20. We'll address them. We will. We will address your own rumors at 1:20.
That's the way the snitch line works.
The snitch line. Everybody's on. I mean, nobody's off limits.
You can either confirm or deny.
Shout out to Micah in Denver. I'm not ghosting. I normally respond a lot to Micah.
So we'll get to that. 1:20 snitch line opens back up.
No, I did not find an auto tune app for Cody. That was a question that was asked.
Yeah, live performance of Pasquantino coming.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for everybody.
What's the random question?
Let's hope I remember the lyrics. So the random question I have for you today is actually related to the game last night. I was honestly a little surprised that with the Royals still to bat in the bottom of the ninth inning, I saw with my own eyes people leaving the stadium. So the question I have for you today is, under what circumstances do you think is okay to leave a postseason game early? Yeah. I'll just look. It wasn't a majority. It definitely was a majority. 5 or 10%
of fans.
Yeah, 95% of fans were in their seats cheering on the boys in blue, waiting to see if the walk off was going to happen for the Royals. But for the 5% of you who were leaving, what are the circumstances in which you think you are allowed to leave a playoff game early? Does it have to be a family emergency? Does it have to be that, you know, you have young children?
Yeah.
What is the time in which you will excuse an early postseason leave time?
My guess is for some of them, it's a Wednesday night. Maybe they took their son or daughter to their first Royals playoff game, and what a cool experience that is. And it was time for them to get home. They didn't want to sit in traffic for an hour. We learned a lot of people were sitting in traffic for an hour. Their kids needed to get to bed. I think everybody understands that if that's the case. Otherwise, if let's take the kid angle out of this, to me, it's got to be you're down, you know, 4+ runs, and it's you know, the ninth inning, and you're just trying to beat traffic kind of thing. You know, you and I come at this from a different perspective. It's probably not fair for me to judge. I mean, I just, for what we do for a living, it's a little bit different in how we view, like...
Well, you've gone to plenty of games for other sports as a fan.
Yeah, I don't, I mean,
you know? Like, if you were at a KC current playoff match, if they're down 5-0, you're allowed to leave early? See, that's the other question.
Yeah, look like
it's a playoff game and they're down 11-0. So, to go?
The last current game I went to, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. So the last current game, I was with other people, and we all just, they were up, they're clearly going to win, and it was the 88th minute. We're like, we don't need to stay for stoppage time. So we left in the 88th minute. They were up 3 goals.
Okay. In a winning, that's what I'm saying.
Not in a non-playoff game.
If the Royals are up 11-0 in a non-clinching game.
But tonight, I'll tell you though, tonight, I think tonight it is emergency or young kids. Otherwise, they would have to be down 5-6 runs in the 8th or 9th inning for me to understand why you would leave a game like this that has a chance to either end their season or push it to a game 5.
So over on YouTube, Lucas says never. Scoob on Twitch says maybe a bad case of vertigo. Text line says
diarrhea.
My brother. text line does say, had to be a pretty bad case of diarrhea. Diarrhea or down 3+ runs. 3+ runs, win. Oof. You'd have to say a certain. Yeah. I mean, 3 runs is not that many.
Not in the fourth inning.
Teams score 3 runs all the time.
Mm-hmm. In the ninth inning, I don't know if 3 is enough.
From the 913, my brother left early. His daughter had to get back to Lawrence as she had a paper due today. I think you got to write the paper either in the stadium or write it before you go, in my opinion. I don't think that's a good enough excuse. Said, I had a friend leave in the 7th inning of the 2014 wild card game. We all know somebody who left the wild card game early. I still can't believe it. From the 816, you'd have to poop your pants in order to do it.
The birth
of your
child. Someone said, I paid for the ticket. I can leave whatever the hell I want. That's true. That is very true.
I'm not saying you can't leave. I'm just saying, should you?
No, you're locked in. You actually are not allowed to leave the stadium. You are locked in the stadium.
That'd be a wild concept.
Bars on the door.
You can't get out.
You have to stay to the bitter end. Someone said, I left the wild card in 2014 in the 8th.
Oh.
I can't believe some of you admit these things. Because, like, oh, man. I mean, if I did it, I think at this point I could not admit it. But of all games to leave early.
That's tough.
I mean, Drew, that game was back and forth. Yeah. The Royals were down 1 million runs at one point. It definitely felt like the kind of game they were going to lose. And the Royals hadn't been in the postseason in 30 years, and it felt like it was going to end on a wild card game because Yordano Ventura game. I think people were frustrated. I think that's what happened last night. They were just frustrated with the offense.
I don't know if you can, if we should save this for snitch line or not. Somebody said, I need to snitch on myself. I left the 13-second game after Buffalo scored. It's a tough one.
Walking out to the concourse.
There's no way. You didn't even make it out of the stadium. Like,
you heard a roar when you were still like
you're running back
halfway through
that point,
the concourse.
In a way, you almost miss it, though. Like, if you hear a roar, it's like, you might miss it anyways.
Yeah.
Someone says, does the pro shop sell pants? Because if then, I'm not sure we're exhausted.
Let's go get some new pants.
Goodness.
Go get some Zubaz pants for the pro shop or the overalls.
For me, it's always been... I guess not that you want to make the most of the ticket, but I think the Pacers are a great example. I always stay because you never know what you're going to see. You might see something that you never actually going to see again. You might see somebody hit a full court shot and might never see that again live. You might see a crazy dunk that is on SportsCenter that you missed live and you could have seen it live. Like, you never know. So I traditionally like to stay all the way to the end because you never know what you're going to see. My wife, on the other hand, is... Please beat the parking. I don't want to be sitting in the car
the
forever.
Beat the parking is always the one. And by all accounts, by the way, last night
sounded like it wasn't great.
My brother, who also left the wild card game early, he said last night the same thing. He's like, what the hell happened with parking? I'm like, I don't know.
It was weird.
I mean,
a lot
they
of
had
people,
double as many people leave a Chiefs game. And I mean, it sucks leaving a Chiefs game, but it's half as many people. So how?
It's just off of third party from text line. People were saying there maybe wasn't enough people directing traffic. Even though, as you said, it's way less people leaving than a Chiefs game. Someone says you could leave. You had to go film a Hallmark movie. That's true. If they call me and they need to reshoot a scene, I'm out. That's true. By the way, November 30th, right? That's when that's when it comes out.
Man, it's still going to wait 6 weeks for this thing?
My acting debut, boys.
Debut? You're planning on getting some more gigs?
I'm getting the IMDb page ready, you know?
You really should get an IMDb page.
I'm sure after my incredible job walking down the street in that
movie. Are you allowed to reveal that?
At this point, I don't think it matters. Me walking down the street, that role, they're going to look at me and they're going to say, man, this guy, future Hollywood actor, he can now do this in a bunch of movies, you know? I mean, flying me to Hollywood just to have me be an extra in their movie.
Something
about
your stride where they said, that guy's got it. That guy's got it.
There are people on there that are just being like, because they left the wild card game early, they'll never leave a game early ever again.
Fair.
You kind of learn your lesson, I guess, right?
I do kind of get... Yeah, I mean, that's a hard lesson,
Someone
though.
Says they jumped a curb in their Honda Accord. It was so bad last night. I hope you didn't damage your vehicle.
Why are you jumping... If you got a Honda Accord, you're just in the line, dude. You're not driving a jacked up Jeep Wrangler. You can't jump a curb in that.
That is the one time where I do wish I just had a big truck. Because I've always been like, I just want to be the guy that can just go over and say, screw this, and hop
just
the curb.
Over the grass.
But I've never had a truck, you
know? The whole line. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. You get a truck with your next car.
Maybe so.
You're due for a car soon. You've been driving yours for 10 years. You go see my friends at Volkswagen Lee Summit. They'll take care of you.
Am I due? I mean, it's, you know, I do like not having a car payment currently.
I just meant like... you're not going to be able to drive this car.
Knock on wood. We're knock on wood.
How many at? 220?
She's running well. 218.
218?
It's a...
Wow. Kudos.
Soon to be 12-year-old car. My goodness. Yeah.
I don't know if Gold comes across as a truck guy.
Drove a truck train camp a couple times.
Yeah. Sure did.
Thanks to our different friends.
Those are different dealerships. Those aren't my friends anymore.
my friend's down at Max Motors. Anyway.
But yeah, no, I just think that I'm just asking. I just wanted to know. That's my random question.
There you go. Up next, guys, 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little fantasy football with Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com, who to start for week 6. We'll also do another confidence check. We'll take some of your calls. And yes, a snitch line opens up on a Thursday.